Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello, Gotham Guitars.
I'm a multi-millionaire crime-fighting cape-wearing guitar enthusiast.
And how can I help you, sir?
I'm in need of three pedals.
Well, I've got just the deal for you. From the 1st of October to the 16th of November, you can buy two Boss pedals and get the third absolutely free.
Swear to me.
That's right. Go to www.boss3for2.com, that's the number 3 and the number 2 with the word 4, to check all the pedal combinations and all of the terms and conditions. Then go to any UK Boss dealer for the promotion.
I'm Batman.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening, we have Jay Cross.
Guten Tag.
And Joe Branton.
Guten Abend.
How's it going?
Good.
Very well.
We're a man down this week. Matt and I was going to be with us.
He's got a plumber round.
He's having some plumbing
builder.
Done.
Oh, is it a builder?
Yeah. Sorry, builder.
His new fancy London apartment, he's got the builders in.
He's having a YMCA party.
Yeah, they're all there. The cop... The Native American, the
go and try
builder.
And remember them all. Come on, keep going.
Is there a builder?
Yeah, there's definitely a builder.
Yeah, Bob.
The Navy man.
Well, yeah. There's a cowboy.
Cowboy.
That's there it, isn't it? There's only five of them.
How is it?
Sporty.
Yeah, ginger.
Posh one. How's it going?
And dopey. Sorry,
no,
he was
one of the Poddington Peas.
Was he?
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
Was he?
No,
oh, okay.
I'll die. Right. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good week so far?
Yes.
Good. What's been going on guitar-wise?
Nothing new and cool has come in yet.
That's not true.
Isn't it?
That's not true. You have experienced probably the coolest guitar I've ever seen.
I didn't like it.
No. Oh, well, at least explain to people what it is.
Okay, so we took in Part X.
Means Part Exchange.
Part Exchange into the shop that I work at. We took in a Sur 80s shred guitar.
80s shred guitar. Amazing.
It's called the 80s shred because...
Is it?
It's called the 80s shred.
It's called the 80s shred. One of only 100.
One of only 100 in the neon finish that looks like... it looks like the walls do in Get Your Own Back.
Yes, it's very...
after someone's been gunged.
Dave Benson Phillips signature.
Yeah, it is the DBP signature. I didn't really like it.
From outside to inside, I mean, yeah, it does. It's very Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but it comes in a
silver
well,
crocodile
chrome.
Skin.
So,
yeah, chromed
so a crocodile skin.
Crocodile skin
hard
which
case.
Is why it's expensive, because they are protected.
Chrome crocodiles.
The chrome crocodiles are protected.
Steve Irwin lost his life trying to wrangle a chrome crocodile.
No, that was a...
Music Man.
Yeah, Blue Music Man.
Music Man stinks. Very good. Very good.
Oh, man. But yeah, it comes
See what happens when Matt's not here.
Carnage.
Absolute carnage.
But yeah, it comes in that hard case. The hard case actually on the inside, when you open it up, has a plaque.
It does,
That says, in the hard case, that says, Sir... 80s shred, and then gives the number of 100 that it is. The guitar also comes with a matching, a colour code matched pedal.
Sur Riot pedal, yeah, which is a great pedal, by the way. The Sur Riot.
I've never heard one.
Yeah, they're really good, really good drive pedal.
Is it drive or is it like a TS-808?
It's like a... I don't know. It's one of them. It's like a drivey pedal. It's solid. It's really good. It's a really good pedal, but they're both relict, and I think...
The pedal's relic.
The pedal is relic as well, yeah. And my main problem with it is that it's like the lacquer is like, it's like a hard shell, and so rather than it being like a natural sort of nitro,
it is nitro.
I know it's nitro, but like there's like sort of chips have come out of it and stuff. And apart from that, anything, it's not really my cup of tea in terms.
What you
of
mean,
the
Floyd Rose or the neon? Neon gunge finish isn't your cup of tea.
Not really my cup
of tea. J. Bahartelli Cross.
Yes. Oh, I did like the pedal though. The pedal sounds great.
I like that the pedal has its own little cutout in the hard case where
it
slots in.
Into that in a big way.
Yeah. It's like, what were those, was it there was Dan Electro, I think, that had the
Silver Titan that had the amp built in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Kind of like
amp,
that.
Amp built into a hard case.
It's got me thinking, like, what other manufacturers could do that? Like, who makes guitars and pedals?
Fender.
But what would you have? Would you have, like...
The Competition Series Delay.
With a Competition Stripe Mustang.
That would be very cool, actually.
Nice. I'm into that in a big way. Ibanez could do some sort of RG with an...
Right, a green RG with a
nice tube screamer.
Well, I mean, but they did the TS... No, it wasn't called the TS, was it? They did a 1x12 combo that had the...
Had a tube screamer built into it.
I was really into that. That was actually really interesting because one of the things where that amp kind of fell down was you couldn't really run... now, I don't normally sort of endorse running... I'm not really into effects loops. Not really. I just sort of like everything through the front end because it's, you know, what does it matter what I'm playing? It's going to sound a bit crap anyway.
Yeah.
So... Normally, I just say, just run everything through the front end. I like that the reverbs sort of get a bit dirgy or whatever through the gain stage. The problem with the Ibanez tube screamer amp is that the drive circuit is a tube screamer in the front end of the amp.
Okay.
And so you can't really run, because you wouldn't run like modulation pedals into drive pedals and then into an amp.
No,
and
that's right.
So you have to run your modulation pedals through the effects loop.
But the people I think that would buy that are... I mean, it was for metal players and like, you know, you've...
I don't know if it's for metal players.
Well, like shredders. And, you know, like Joss Allen at the shop. If you ever ask him about his pedal board, he doesn't have one. He just has a TS-9.
Right.
And I think a lot of shredders like that do just have, like, there's no effect pedals there a lot of the time.
Isn't that because they're doing everything through Axe FX or...
I guess
through,
so, yeah.
Like, DB multi-amps and stuff, so...
But before all that stuff
came
along...
It's all mini-triggered, isn't it?
Well, before that stuff came along, it was very much, like, weirdly the go-to pedal. Like, was
what,
to
TS-9?
Yeah,
I think it still is.
Yeah, well, get a 9 or an 8 and 8. 808 and then run it.
The mid-90s one. Do you remember the mid-90s one when it was in a plastic box?
Sound Tank.
Yeah.
There was a Sound Tank, and there was also a version in the same... Well, we always talk about it, the LF7, that was called Tone Lock. I think it was like a TS-7 or something.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they've done loads of different things, but yeah, metal players would get one of those and then run it in front of a drive channel and then use it for solos.
Yeah.
It was kind of a go-to metal, weirdly a go-to metal pedal as well. So.
But I think that's just because it's a, you know, it's the thing about tube screamers, they are very adaptable. You know, my only slight concern with a tube screamer is quite often, like, you know what it is immediately. It's not particularly transparent. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you can hear a tube screamer,
but the sound is great.
Yeah.
So, but. But yeah, other than this guitar that Joe really, really loved, I understandably wasn't that into.
You were a fool. It was amazing. That is the coolest guitar I've ever seen.
I knew you'd like it. I kind of didn't want to send it to you.
Do you know, the only thing I wasn't sure was that everything was such attention to detail, you know. Matching headstock, we go for a chrome snakeskin hard case.
You would want the case
a little slot for the pedal in the hard case, a plaque saying what number, like, that's all super attention to detail. And then it comes to the actual interior of the case, it's just like just like crimson.
No,
like
I
red.
Quite like the colour.
It was just the standard. I was like, why isn't this neon green?
Because it would detract away from the finish of the instrument.
But why not make the outside of the case the same colour as the guitar?
I reckon.
Or the inside of the case, so you're never sure quite where to pick it up.
Camo.
I can understand why they wouldn't do the case, because like it would definitely get nicked.
Yeah, well,
immediately.
True. Yeah.
Like, you take that to,
like,
you take
what
that
is
to,
that?
I mean, you take that to a gig, someone will, I mean, they probably won't get very far, because if you're playing
it's
that
reflective.
Guitar, yeah, you know, everyone at your gig is going to be wearing black.
Yeah.
And so they will definitely see you running away with the neon case, but that will definitely get nicked, 100%.
I'm just trying to think of other guitar and pedal manufacturers. How about...
When does this podcast go up, by the way?
Sorry, Wednesday.
I'll put a picture of it up on Wednesday after it goes
up. Okay, cool. Cool.
Carry on.
Well, go up Tuesday-ish. Tuesday night, so okay. do it tomorrow night.
Vox.
Vox?
What were you thinking of, sorry?
Guitar manufacturers that also make pedals that you could include in the case.
I'll tell you what I want. I want a Dan Electro DC-59.
Yeah,
best one.
With a Dan Electro Real Echo built into the case. And so you have to... But, like, I don't want it to be a pedal, I want it to be an echo, and I want the case to be the tape loop.
Okay, that works. So
it definitely doesn't work.
No, it definitely would never work. But
Dan Electro Real Echo. I think I need to buy a Real Echo.
Why don't you own one?
Because I've got real
echoes.
Yeah, fair enough. But they are
R-E-A-L and R-E-E-L.
Really not very expensive.
They are not very expensive. I think they've been discontinued now, though.
Yeah,
they have, yeah.
I think I might buy one, though. I think I've been thinking about just sort of buying loads of...
pedals?
Echo, like tape echo pedals again. Getting back into it. So I sold...
What do you mean getting back into it? You still own all of the tape echoes that you have owned for...
Yeah, but like, I've not bought anything new for a while.
That's true.
Like, I bought... I suppose
have you sold all your stuff yet?
I sold... both amps have gone.
Oh, the Vox has gone.
The Vox has gone. I am just waiting for... Which, you know, one of my mates took it and...
Heartbreaking.
As he walked out the door with it, I was like... This is a mistake. This is definitely a mistake. But I'm also a pretty firm believer in, like, you know... And this is perhaps me going off on it a little bit again, but like any decision that you make at the time is the right decision. And so even if like, if it was the right decision at the time, it's the right decision. And so like maybe in a couple of years time, I'll be like, God, I shouldn't have sold that amp.
Absolutely. That's 100% what you're going to say.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And I'll be like, oh, I really shouldn't have sold that amp. But right now it's the right choice because I'm going to sell that and I'm going to get a little Blackstar amp that I'll be able to use at home, and I'll actually be able to play guitar at home, whereas at the moment I cannot play guitar at home, and it's a bit rubbish because I'm sort of falling away, you know, because at work I don't get to play guitar because I'm really busy all the time, and I come home and I can't play guitar because my amp's too big, but not an issue because I don't have any pick amps anymore.
Let me tell you about a little amp called the Fender Blues Junior.
Yeah, I have been thinking about getting a Blues Junior, but again, I mean, you've been in my flat. I don't think I could play it in there because I've got laminate floors. The walls are paper thin.
Yeah.
I think it would be too loud. And I think I just... What I want to get is... What I really want to do is if I'm playing live, I want a Supersonic again. And I will... I reckon I'll buy a Supersonic again because my one breaking was rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have sold that. I wouldn't have, like... I mean, I probably should use the money I'm getting for the one of these amps to buy a Supersonic again. But I'm just gonna hold fire again. I think I'm gonna get that and just get loads of
pedals
again. I've set up my I'm really into how it looks at the moment. What I've done is I've set up my I've got my Space Echo. So where I had my record player and the amp for my record player, it was in the middle of my like record desk unit thing.
Right.
And so I've got the record player on top of the hi-fi amp,
right,
on top of the Space Echo.
Send pics.
So it's like a centerpiece.
Yeah, we need some pictures.
Yeah, I'll put that up. It looks wicked. So I'm really... And I've got the space in my record like display unit, which I know will fit the little Blackstar amp. I'm going to have it all wired up, ready to go. So I'm not even going to plug into the amp. I'm always just going to plug into the Space Echo.
All right, I'm into that.
So Dan Armstrong Ampeg... Bass.
Right. Oh, yeah.
In the case.
Ampeg Scrambler.
Yeah. You know the Scrambler's on the new preamp?
Yes. So I hear. It's in the new combos as well, isn't it? The little wedge. I mean, they're not super new, but the
best if we don't talk about those. But the
Joe? The Ampeg name being slapped on something that's perhaps not such good quality at a budget price.
Do you think there's anyone at Ampeg who actually have anything to do with Ampeg?
Clearly,
anymore?
No one works there.
Yeah.
But as much as I love them, yeah, they're not...
Old Ampegs.
Yeah, you know, the new stuff's not blowing me away. Joe Branton, what have you been up to this week?
This week I've... I'll tell you what I'm doing, I'm going to after this, is this Friday my girlfriend has a solo gig. She's been doing this sort of synthy one-person solo project with like several synthesizers.
Do a plug. What's
loopers.
It called?
It's called For the Love of Pipes, or okay. FTLOP.
But, Footlop.
Footlop, yeah.
Does she work in Footlopper?
She does, yeah. Essentially, yes. Yeah. It's just handing out flyers for Footlocker, really. But to keep it interesting,
For the Love of Pipes.
Yes, For the Love of Pipes. But yeah, to keep it interesting, she's been trying to do every single solo show with a rearrangement of her of the songs that she's written and recorded. And for this one, she's asked if I can
to keep
jump
it interesting
in.
For who?
For well, yeah, exactly.
To keep it interesting for her.
For her, yeah.
Is she not really into the songs that she's written, so she has to rearrange them?
Well, she's only written three, and
right.
And then she just
they're
does,
probably all 15 minutes long, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I think they're average out about 6 minutes each. But she
that's fine.
Then
normal
fills out the rest of the time with two different covers that she does each time.
Does she do?
Call
you
me maybe.
Go Your Own Way.
Oh
by
no,
Fleetwood
she
Mac.
Should do that one. No, she did. She did My Girl by The National. The last one, and the one before that, she did that Cyndi Lauper song that was a Prince song before it was a Cyndi Lauper song. What one was that?
I've absolutely no idea.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
I want to dance with somebody.
No,
is it that?
No, it wasn't.
I'd like to hear a Prince version.
That
would be
a good job. I think she's doing a Bryan Adams one at this one on Friday.
Is it
Summer of 69?
Summer of 69.
No, it's not. It's a different one. I don't
know.
She should
do a cover of Ryan Adams doing a cover of Taylor Swift.
Yes, she's actually, that was one of the options. Yeah, she's really into that record.
Really? See, I've not listened to it the whole way through, but I listened to a couple of the tracks and I was expecting to be really, really into it because that last Ryan Adams record, I've never really been into Ryan Adams, but that last one was really good because it was really fast, really cool, short, like garage punk songs.
Such a limited appreciation
of music.
It was
really good. It was really, really good. And then I thought, oh, yeah, okay, cool. This is going to be great. This is going to be like...
You were expecting me first and the Gimme Gimmies.
See, definitely not. Like, I wouldn't have been into that in the slightest. But I thought it might be sort of cool, sort of maybe like lo-fi garagey thing. And it was just,
no.
I don't know, I just wasn't too into
Fair enough.
Because 1989 is a great record.
Yeah.
It's a great record.
I do still think I prefer the Taylor Swift version. But
So anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
So you're doing a gig.
Yeah, yeah. So she asked if she could have some baritone guitar on it. So I don't own a baritone guitar, so I'm taking down the bass six. And actually it's ended up just by... you know, by virtue of what keys she's written in, I'll be capoing into F sharp for the bulk of the set on the bass six and playing chords. So I'm taking down that and a Vox AC15. And
do you own that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't.
You're gonna be borrowing one.
I am borrowing one.
Okay.
That's right. But I'm thinking about buying one.
Okay.
This will be
test drive.
Yeah, tonight is a test drive because I'm really in. I think if
Are you
I was
playing
a guitarist,
tonight, just rehearsing.
Sorry,
right.
Yeah. So it'll be the first time I've used the AC15. So
right.
I'm bringing down a Boss ME70.
Yeah,
good choice.
In case I need anything, because I'm not a guitarist. So I do have loads of pedals. I have boxes of pedals that would be suitable, but I thought it was easier to just bring an ME70. So I'm bringing that down in case I need anything. But I think. The reason I've gone for the AC15 is because I was like, right, this sort of thing, I'm thinking baritone guitar. I don't know what she's going to ask me to play yet, but baritone guitar and...
You'll want a 12-inch speaker.
She's really into... It will be... I think she wants to do sort of Lana Del Rey-style arrangements of the song. So I was trying to think about that sort of type of music. And, like, she's been listening to a lot of Last of the Shadow Puppets, the solo project by the front guy from... The Arctic Monkeys,
okay,
which is very, very 60s, style. And so I was thinking the two effects I'll probably need are loads of reverb and loads of tremolo.
I mean, if you want that.
And AC15 can give me both of those without me having to have anything on the floor.
AC15 doesn't have tremolo.
Oh, doesn't it? Oh, I thought it did.
Don't think so. Pretty sure AC15 has only got reverb.
Okay, well, I have the ME70 as a backup. So,
One thing, what have you? Is that the only reason you've gone for the 15? Because for what you're...
I also really like the look of Voxes.
Well, I'm just thinking the 10. Have you tried the AC10?
No. Would it do gigs as well?
I think so,
do you think
yeah.
it could
I mean,
handle a baritone guitar?
It's 10-inch speaker, so it's not a 12-inch speaker. And it's digital reverb rather than rather than a proper reverb tank.
So the end of the world. Done correctly is...
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it sounds really good.
What would be the in defense of it? Because, I mean, both of those are, you know, even if it's done well, that's still something worse than having a proper reverb. Surely,
yeah. I mean, I would still go.
Is it just money? Is the AC10 cheaper than a
15? The AC10 is cheaper. It's a lot smaller. Right, it's only a 10-inch speaker rather than a 12-inch speaker.
15's not that big, is it?
They are still a bit unwieldy.
Oh, really?
They're not big amps.
They're not AC30 unwieldy, but yeah. They're.
God, I didn't realize how bad AC30s were until I was.
Well, how heavy they are.
Yeah.
Until, oh my word! Because that's one of the reasons I'm glad I got rid of mine.
I've never really had much to do with them until I was like doing some depth work last week with the mate's function band, and they play an AC30, and I had to like move one.
Two. That's why there's two handles on the top.
I had no idea.
Three handles. One in the middle, two either side.
One if you're feeling strong, or two if you want to use both hands.
One if you're me, two if you're Mark.
I went for the Mark approach.
Okay, the two handles.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Good. Anything else that you've been playing this week? Anything else that's caught your eye?
Well, actually, yes.
There is tremolo on an AC15.
There is tremolo. Oh, there you go. Well, that's good. I hope people listen through to this podcast before sort of writing off their purchases of AC15s on account
cut
of
off
your
at that point.
Misinformation.
As soon as
God
Jay says,
damn it,
no trams. Burp. It's cut off.
Yeah, I did some other stuff. I went and checked out loads of Ashdown stuff.
Okay. Tell us about that, because we talk about Ashdown a bit on here, but
not too much.
I think not too much. We usually talk Orange or Fender Bassman.
That's right.
Or Mark Bass.
So, no, we don't talk Mark
we
Bass.
We do. We love Mark Bass.
No, I do not.
Mark Bass the best.
I don't understand why you don't like Mark Bass, Joe.
Because they don't sound like amplifiers.
They
I mean,
sound
if
great.
You
they
want,
do.
If you want your bass to sound like a trumpet, then I think Mark Bass are probably the best place to go.
I've got something to say about that in a minute, but continue your story.
All right. No, Mark Bass are great if you need to put a lot of digital sounding drive in front of it.
Carry on.
Okay.
Your story.
So Ashdown have changed the only thing I didn't like about Ashdown.
Okay.
So the thing with Ashdown amps is the way their input worked.
Okay.
On their amps, they tried to make everything on their amplifiers usable, including the input. So, for example, like a lot of guitarists suffer from 12 o'clock syndrome, which is a fear of pushing anything past 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Well, certainly the concept that if you're pushing something past 12 o'clock, you're probably damaging the amplifier in some way.
I don't suffer from that.
No, you don't. No, but of course you both of you are in punk bands and you do damage amplifiers regularly.
Yeah.
But most people have sort of a bit of an awareness. Like if you bought an amp and to gig it, you had to have it on volume 8 or 9. You'd think, well, this amp isn't loud enough for what I need.
Sure.
A lot of people.
It depends
on
the amp and the player, I guess.
True. But I think that is quite a common thing, and certainly. If we were to take Orange, for example, I couldn't push my Obi-Wan past 4 on the volume.
Yeah.
Like 4 is giggable, like, and I play in a loud band. And I think, realistically, if I was on 6 or 7, I would be in serious, like, blowing up this amp
sure.
territory.
Really? Because I used your amp live.
On 6 or 7.
I think I maybe had it on 8.
I can't believe you had it on that. Admittedly, I have an EQ pedal and a compressor that both boost the volume from the floor before it goes.
I mean, I was using a Sans amp and a Boss BB1X and the in effect harmonic percolator.
Okay, well,
yeah, it was really loud. It was really, really, and so when I used it, I was going through a SVT 6x10.
Right.
The classic 6x10, I think it was. And whilst I was playing, like, the amp was on the stage and I stood on the floor. And despite the fact that I was directly in front of it, I still was like, I can still hear the guitar a little bit too much. Should I turn up or whatever? And not because I'm like, oh yeah, bass, they need to hear me, because when I play a show, usually I've got my like promoter hat on, so I'm like, no, everybody needs to be equal. And
I mean, more it's that you can hear your own bass playing.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I didn't think they were
fair enough.
That much. Maybe, like, I don't know.
Maybe in that case a bad example. But my point nonetheless is that a lot of amps, when they're hitting around halfway, they really should be at giggable level. Which leaves the question of how much more volume is there to go on this, and how much of it is actually usable. And the thing that Ashdown have always gone with is, if you were to turn their inputs to 10, that is the loudest usable volume it has, as in Ashdown encourage players all of that.
Wind it all up.
Yeah,
basically.
Why not wind it up? You know, you don't need to go louder than this, but this is the loudest usable volume. And the problem is, a lot of people are plugging in oranges and Ampegs and things like that, where the giggable volume is less than halfway.
Yeah.
And then on an Ashdown, they're having to go around to 8 or 9, and everyone's like, Ashdown are quiet. And that was always my...
Oh yeah, I kind of always thought that as well. Like, there never seems to be enough about them. There's never enough like body to the sound.
Yeah, exactly. And it's because we apply the same, we put the knobs in the same place, even though they need to be cranked a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
Like you'd never, like you say, going past 12 o'clock is always a bit. You need to be a bit wary of it.
Yeah, exactly. But that is essentially, this was something that Ashdown were always. That they were fine with that, and that was their thing, and they didn't understand why other companies would make amps with volume levels that were essentially unusable. And actually, if you think about it like that, it makes perfect sense. But the fact is, and what Ashdown have now come around to, is that just is how everyone else makes their amps. So yeah. They're going to do that the same way. So their new ABM series, they've discontinued the ABM 900 and introduced the ABM 1200, which I would never advise getting something of that sort of wattage level, because it means you're always going to have to bring your own cab, because you're going to have something very high powered in order.
Sure, but mind you, though, if you're running to like 8 ohms,
true,
it's going to be at like
down to 7, but you know, there's still sort of it's 700 watts, still something that has that can take 700 watts. Is you're getting on to sort of 610, 810 territory.
But would you need that larger amp if you weren't running at that, you know, if you didn't have that size cab anyway?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of designed for people that are probably headlining and are not sharing cabs, I guess.
You say that. Yeah, it is about £1,500 for the head, but I just think that they also do the ABM 600 basically, which is 600 watts, and now for the first time has all that volume that you're never going to use. But it means that the rotary controls work in the same way that we expect them to. Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
Which is great. So I just think the improvement they made to the range is really, really good. And I popped down to Ashdown, to the Ashdown factory.
How was it?
Really cool.
Okay. When did you do that?
Because it's last Friday night, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
Friday night's all right.
I'm sorry, man.
Thanks for the invite. Did you take some pictures, maybe put them up on the group?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
actually.
Brilliant.
They gave you loads of free booze in.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
Weird that you're talking about them so positively.
No, well, the lines we were doing. No, the
the new lines,
the product lines.
The new product lines.
I was only down there
to make it clear you didn't get any drugs.
Yeah, Ashdown were not serving us drugs.
Here's a cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Ashdown Factory. No, they really weren't.
And no, that you like,
everything really dug
it, was it down
here.
The pub afterwards. So.
Everything you say sounds sarcastic. So, to make it clear, 100%, I'll say it because people actually believe me, there were no drugs.
So.
even your pause there
made it seem suspicious.
So. I was only down there because where did I eat?
Well, no, was, why are you on this podcast?
Right, oh, I see. So Dan Beasley, who's the guitarist in a band called Cleft, was down there to have a chat with them about he's endorsed by Hayden, who are obviously part of the same company as Ashdown.
Okay.
Are you okay?
I just wish Matt was here.
And Dan from Clef was down there to talk about his new Hayden rig because they're making him something quite special. They gave him a couple of 112 Hayden cabs when he was down to go with his Mofo 30 that he has, and they've upgraded his Mofo 30, changed some valves in it. But they also they're making him like a 15-inch guitar cab.
Cool.
Okay.
Because they're a two-piece, and he does they also supply him with like a bass preamp that he runs everything into. So okay. he has like an ABY pedal that links through to a like a micropog and the bass preamp, which until he's always run through the front of house, and then had the rest of his pedal board going through his 212 until recently Harley Benton cab. And his Hayden head, but now he's endorsed. They've given him two 112 cabs, and then he's running the Mofo through that. But they're making him a 15-inch guitar cab, so he can start running his bass signal into the cab from on stage.
My problem with that is I have never. I have only seen a couple of bands ever. Without a bass player, sound like they've got a bass player. Do you know what I mean? Like pieces.
You always notice it.
You like Japan Droids, like really cool, like decent band on record. A couple of like wicked songs, a lot of filler, but like a couple of like really really good songs. I've seen them a couple of times. I saw them in a small venue about 5 years ago. No, probably a bit longer than that. But they. I just thought they sounded rubbish. And then a couple of years ago, I saw him at the Haunt in Brighton, which is 350 and is a big sort of cavernous type venue. Mm-hmm. And again, sounded so rubbish. The fella was running his guitar into... He had two twins, an SVT and a 8x10, and two Thunderverbs, I think, with two orange... PPC 212s. So he was running a lot of amps, and it still just sounded like a fella and his mate
I think you're so much better to go the other way if you're a two-piece.
Get a bassist.
Be a bass player and go octave up.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe, and I might agree with you if I hadn't heard Clef, but I think that they very, very much do feel... I mean, so much so that they're actually in the Music Festival Awards, I think. I don't know if they've got a special
name. MFA.
Is that what they're called?
I've absolutely no idea.
Okay. there is some Music Festival Association Awards, and they're up for best performance alongside Royal Blood.
Okay. So is it the Festival of Music Festival of Two Piece Bands Awards?
No. Yeah. I mean, obviously, totally different festivals. I think Royal Blood are probably up for Reading or something like that.
Is this an award ceremony for best festival performance?
Yeah. No, but it's like there's best festival. There's best grassroots festival, best new festival.
That's not a job.
It's lots of things, and one of the things on there is best. Best new
two-piece
band or something like that, and I think Royal Blood are up there. Wolf Alice, I saw them in the listings, and then Clefter are in there as well.
No Polymath.
No.
There's too many.
We did play
too many fellas in the band.
Yeah, you got only two pieces.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Well, I've literally no idea how we got to 32 minutes into the podcast. This week I've played absolutely no guitar because I've got a tendon pulley injury.
What?
Indeed.
How did you pull your tendon?
Rock climbing.
Without me.
See, Jay doesn't come along to rock climbing, and I try something adventurous, and I basically heard a really loud popping sound from my middle finger as I grabbed onto a hold.
I'm not there to say,
you shouldn't try that.
That looks a little far at you, mate.
Yeah, so... Anyway. I tried playing guitar earlier before you guys came around, and I literally can't fret chords.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bad.
And that's different from normal...
Go away.
I want to go on Saturday, so...
I want to go climbing. Yeah, I can't do it. My finger is swollen up.
Joe, what are you doing on Saturday?
Oh, I'm going rock climbing.
Don't take him climbing. Useless.
I was good.
Definitely not. But what I have done is I've been listening to a lot of music this week. The new Ordinary Boys album.
Yes.
Oh, I saw you post on this. We can't talk about
this.
It's really good. If you are looking for a new kind of guitar focused album to
don't listen to him, people.
Have a listen to. The Ordinary Boys record is really, really good. It's like nothing like their old stuff. It's just kind of like nice guitar based like garage rock, I would say.
Yeah, it's really good. It was produced by MJ from Hookworms. He's recorded it and just basically just put Space Echo on everything.
I noticed that. There's a lot of there's one song in particular that's really poppy, just like garage rock, like sounds a bit like Beach Boys-y, a bit Ramones-y. And then in the kind of periphery of the stereo image, there's just like something just going...
Yeah. It's just loads of Space
Echo. It's just Space Echo, isn't it?
Yeah. Sounds great. It is a really good record. I was never that into them.
Bass sounds good as well. Bass sounds really good.
Uh-huh.
Jazz bass with some drive, or you know, just a cranked up amp. I think you'd be into it. So
it's really good. It's a really good record. I was along that sort of thing. I was trying to find. I was like, I listened to that a couple of days ago, and I was like, someone else recommended after seeing like a couple of comments on the internet about the new Ordinary Boys record. Someone else recommended the new Tellison LP, who I haven't listened to for a really, really long time. And I listened to that record today, and it is also not bad. Not as good as the Ordinary Boys record, but cool, like sort of guitar-y, like there's some weird time signatures in there that I didn't really understand. Joe switched off.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I did, yeah.
The only other record that I've listened to, because I haven't been able to play any guitar, is Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavoured Water by Limp Bizkit. I've been alternating between that and Ordinary Boys, because that record's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. The guitar sound in it, all the way through, doesn't sound like a guitar in any way.
Did you see the article this week that Tim C from... No, last week, from Rage Against the Machine... put out in this interview, he put out a public apology for inspiring Limp Bizkit.
And did you hear what happened since then? I assume you're talking about the spiral.
After that, the rest of the interview was released, where he claimed that also he ISIS didn't exist and the moon landings didn't happen. So didn't. All of this happened in the same interview.
This makes me like Limp Bizkit even more.
They didn't. The moon landings didn't happen.
Oh,
come on. They definitely didn't happen.
You're awful.
Conspiracy cast.
But yeah, so after Tim C apologised for Limp Bizkit, the next thing I saw was an Onion article which had Adam from the Beastie Boys apologising for Rage Against the Machine, which I just thought was absolutely beautiful.
Who apologises for the Beastie Boys?
There is someone is apologising. Yeah,
HR.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, is there? Is there a follow-up? Yeah. Is there, yeah.
But then who apologised for Bad Brains?
The Rock? The Rock. Rocky Maivia in the Scorpion King.
The People's Champion.
Yeah.
Okay, weird. Should we do some questions? Because I feel this has disintegrated.
Question.
First up, Michael says, my current setup is a Blackstar ID 100.
Oh, we didn't have any news.
There is no news.
News.
So the plan for this week, and we should talk about why we've been just chatting for so long, is that Matt was going to come on. Matt has played all of the new Gibson 2016s, so we were going to do a whole podcast about that. Then his builder thing happened, so he can't be here. So next week we're going to talk about Gibson stuff. The week after we're going to be talking a lot about pedals, pedal special. So we need your questions. Firstly, next week for the Gibson 2016 cast, the week after for a pedal heavy episode. So send in stuff on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. But let's do some general questions for now. Michael says, my current setup is a Blackstar ID 100, a Boss NS2, Ibanez TS9, Boss TU3, Ibanez guitar. I've recently purchased a Boss AC3 and I'm wondering if there's any way whatsoever to bypass the acoustic simulator so when I'm playing with distortion I can go straight into the AC3 clean by just pressing it. Not sure if that's possible, but any help would be appreciated. Now what I think he's saying is that he wants a separate loop for the AC3. Could you do that with the Blackstar ID 100? Does that have an effects loop?
I mean, don't think so.
He'd need to have something. If by with distortion, it was just the TS9, but not on the actual drive channel of the amplifier, he wouldn't be able to do it.
So what my thinking is that maybe he's running the ID 100 clean, and then getting the distortion from the TS9.
I hope that's what he's doing, because if he's doing that, then it's easy enough. All you need is an ABY.
Do you need an ABY? Surely you need two ABYs
to come back in, because you'd split the signal going out, and then you'd split it coming. Then you'd need to reconnect it going back into the amp. But you could.
I don't think it has an effects loop.
So
you'd need to go.
Difficult.
So if you're going guitar to tuner, you probably want that in the loop. Then TS9, then NS2, then amp. Yeah, you'd need to have
two.
There's no way you could do it with by just pushing one button. What you would need to do is have, unless you had a Boss ES8, which probably isn't the.
It's probably a bit overkill for the situation.
You would need to have a. You'd need to have two, two loops going where you would have. There's no way you could do it just by pushing one, but you could do it by pushing two.
What you could do is get something, a company like Bright Onion pedals, to maybe make a loop switcher, so a dual loop switcher, so you could effectively go guitar into the Bright Onion, which would then have one output going into the amp, but then switch between two effects loops.
Yeah.
So the one loop would have all your distortion pedals in it, or, your TS9 and the NS2, and then on the
other side, you'd have the
AC3.
That's the only way you could do it. I can't think of anything that's got a through signal and two effects loop, essentially effects loops built in.
Because you need to create two separate loops.
Two separate loops. Yeah, the only other way you could do it is to have, for example, the cheapest one would be probably the Electro Harmonix Switchblade
Plus,
which has got the through signal and a loop, I think. And you'd put the Boss AC3 in the loop, and then you just have to turn on that as well as turning off.
You have to switch to it once. I'll tell you what could do it. Yeah. I think Boss LS2 line selector, which I think will allow you to set up two separate loops.
Does it let you set up two separate
loops? And switch between.
Yeah, I think maybe you're right, actually. Yeah, maybe you're right. And that would... Yeah, I think that does have two separate loops.
LS2 is certainly worth looking into. If not, someone like Bright Onion could always make...
Yeah.
Like, custom-make something for you.
I think you're right. I think the LS2 would do it. The only thing there is that you can't turn it off. You would have to... You could only switch between the two. Or actually, there might be an option where you can go off AB...
Yeah, okay.
So you can switch between three. I think you're right, but yeah, that's the only slight limitation is you can't switch between. You could either I think there's a way of setting it up where you could either go through, but by the sounds of things, there's only two sounds, so it doesn't matter if.
So it would just be switching between one or two.
Yeah, so you'd switch between loop A and loop B. Yeah, that would do it. That's a very good shout, Mark Packham.
Joe says, "Hey." Yes. Not you, another Joe. Joe says, "Hey, I need some advice. I have two electrics, an Epiphone Les Paul Standard and Epiphone ES339. I appear to have a grounding problem with the 339. I took it to my local shop and they had fixed it, but there's still a slight problem. Whenever I touch the hardware, no matter what I'm going through, I get a popping / clicking sound. I've tried it through three different amps and a PA and tried the amps in different places and nothing changes. Try this with the Les Paul and no problems. I'm certain it's the guitar, but not sure if it's a grounding or interference. If anyone has any advice or any idea of what's wrong, would be appreciated." Joe Branton, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, yes, it's going to be a grounding issue.
Is it though? If it's a popping,
yeah, that is the only thing that's quite a weird. I mean, that's not how I've ever heard grounding issues.
Grounding sounds like buzz, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But when you touch it,
it sort of gives you like a static click. I don't know. I've had this with lots of guitars, and just ignored it, to be honest, because it doesn't make that sound when you're actually playing, and it's never normally that much of a sort of sound. Yeah. And I have to say, I mean, I guess, you know, he said that he's played it through different amps and stuff. I mean, for example, you know, you guys will all know we have a rehearsal studio called Brighton Electric, which is a big converted mansion into like 10 rooms, and some of the wiring in there
is a bit dodgy.
Because my drummer did most of it, and he has no electrical qualifications whatsoever.
That's good. Probably say that on the podcast. I've had an electric shock many times off the microphone in there.
Yeah, exactly. It's bad, isn't it? And you know, sometimes in there I'll get sort of those that issue off of my hardware, but won't get it somewhere else. I mean, if he says he's tried lots of different amps, then they weren't all plugged into the same four-way the same place. So I guess he has tried different places, which would suggest it's a grounding issue from the guitar more than anything else.
I mean,
grounding issues are very easy to solve. Sorry,
are they?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I had an issue. I had quite a bad grounding issue with my P bass, and the only way that my tech was able to get rid of it was he lined the underside of my scratch plate.
It's called shielding, and that's
with copper paper.
It doesn't have to be copper paper; you can do it with tin foil.
Oh, really?
Which I would have thought it was a very cheap and easy thing to do.
Yeah.
It's about 20 quid for a tech to do that sort
of job. So mine was done with all that, but wasn't.
Oh, really?
Wasn't 100%. I mean, he like grounded everything, and it's okay now. I mean, there's still a bit of buzz, but you know, as I said earier, I play through drive pedals, so I don't really care too much. Like, you know,
it's not always the end of the world.
I think it's to a certain degree. I think if there's a bit of grounding, it might not always be solvable. I don't know, unless you have a complete rewire.
That's it. I've always thought of shielding a scratch plate as being the solution for it.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that you had a scratch plate shielded and it didn't deal with it 100%, then I guess maybe I've just been very lucky.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think having the underside of scratch plates shielded, certainly for bass guitars, is a very common thing.
Yeah.
I know we're not talking about a bass guitar here, but I don't know exactly where you'd do that on a 339, actually. I guess on the underside of the controls. Oh, God, yeah. How could you even
get
there?
There's a lot in there. Yeah. I don't know if you'd be able to do it on a 339.
Yeah.
There must be a way of shielding them, because you know, high-end ones must be shielded better than...
Well, I mean, no, they're just not. Like they're just really high-quality wiring.
Better quality components, to be honest.
So what's the option then? Maybe just live with it or strip out the wiring?
That's a big job in a 339.
Yeah.
It's a really big job in a 339. Because the only access points...
are the F-holes.
Are the F-holes, yeah. That's a very, very big job. I'm not sure the answer to that. I think it really varies from guitar to guitar. I think it might be worth trying, maybe have a look at, maybe go down the pedal route of doing it. Maybe try not to, if you can't cut it out of the source, maybe try and eliminate it from the...
Yeah, but if it's not buzzing all of the time, if it's just when you touch the hardware, you get that weird like...
No, that's when it stops because you're grounding it.
But he's saying when he touches it, he's getting a clicking on like a...
Only because that's when the static is discharging.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You know, that's what that sound is.
But then
is.
If that's the problem, a noise gate won't cut that out because that's as loud as the guitar signal, I'd imagine.
Really?
I would imagine that when you touch the hardware, it gives off quite a loud
pop. Okay.
I would say maybe get it to a tech who has got some more experience in this. Like, obviously, you've taken it to your local shop, but maybe have a look around, see if there's any more available local guitar techs. Maybe just get a second opinion on it. It's a bit difficult to diagnose without hearing it, really. And obviously, on a 339, it's a little bit more difficult to sort than if it was on a... telly, for example. So let's do
sorry
yeah like I say, seek another tech, see if they can help you out. Let's do one more question. William says,
oh man, I've been looking at Daryl's question and trying to think of names, but I couldn't really.
Daryl's question's great. I think we're going to attack that on the Patreon.
Oh, okay.
William says, I have a Marshall JVM, and I'm using effects loop for my pedals to take advantage of the foot switch so I can drop effects in smoothly. But when using the effects loop, I don't get the same level of effect as when I plug the effects straight into the front. I tried changing the level on the pedals and the effects level on the amp, but it just isn't giving me what I want. For example, the delay pedal is barely audible. Any help appreciated?
I read this question and I read the responses on it, and the general consensus on the group is... So I've never owned a JVM, but there's a bunch of people on the group who have owned JVMs,
yeah.
And the general consensus is... the effects loop on the JVM just isn't very good.
Okay, I did not know that.
That was what the general consensus is. I mean, like I say, I've never owned one, so I don't know. And I've never sort of experienced it because I always just put pedals through the front end. I would say that if you're using a JVM, the likelihood is, and now I realise I'm being a little bit sort of, I'm generalising somewhat here, but if you're using a JVM, the likelihood is that you're probably using a bit of gain,
yeah,
and therefore it probably, and again, forgive me, people will probably be yelling at me here, it probably doesn't matter too much how clean those trails are from your delay pedal.
Sure.
And therefore just go through the front end, you know. Yeah. You get a lot of drive, especially when you get up to the red settings on those JVMs. You get an awful lot of drive through them, an awful lot of drive. And they do sound very, very compressed. And so I don't think it will affect the effect too much.
Good.
If you're, if you're going through the front end, you are still, you know, it's going to be, it won't sound as clean as if you were going through the loop. But if you're not getting the right sound from the loop, you know, those, depending on which JVM you go for, you've got to bear in mind, like, there's a lot of technology crammed into those JVMs.
There was
six channel. You know, you've got six different options.
No, they're four channel and then three different voicings on each channel.
Right.
Depending on which JVM you go for.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So there's the 210 and the 410.
Yeah.
So yeah, So you've got a lot of stuff in there.
Potentially 12 different voicings.
Yeah, and therefore you've probably got that Marshall probably having to, I guess, cut back somewhere along that line. And that's probably why the effects loop isn't quite so good. Perhaps you could look at getting a buffer put into the loop.
That was my first thought, is why not run some sort of buffer in the loop?
Yeah.
Maybe there's the new little Wampler one, the DB Plus.
Yes.
Which would probably do it very, very well.
The Empress buffer is amazing.
That would be cool.
The Empress buffer is amazing.
Okay.
It's really, really good. So that might be worthwhile having a look at.
I think it all hinges on how William is using the JVM, because obviously the good thing about the JVM is that there's so many tonal options.
Yeah.
And for people, for example, doing maybe a covers band, you know, you might want to use Super Clean, and then you might want to switch to the Crunch channel, and then there's two different drive options.
Yeah.
So if he's using it for all that stuff, then the problem, you know, you probably want to run things like the delay and the modulation in the effects loop.
Yeah.
So at that point, I would think about maybe adding a buffer to the effects loop. We'll probably solve the issue. If you are just using it because the gain channels are really good, then don't bother. Just run all your pedals in the front end, because it's not going to make that much difference anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So.
I didn't know that about JVMs. I didn't know that the effects loop was a bit of a...
I mean, like I say, I don't know for sure. That was just the first couple of comments on the thread were... And I think we try and keep this relatively family-friendly, so I won't say... Some of the...
Someone effing and jeffing.
They said that it was dog shoot.
Okay, good.
Like I said, I mean, I've got very limited experience when it comes to effects loops, but there was a bunch of people who were like, yeah, the effects loop just isn't great in those amps.
Okay.
So I guess, you know, obviously hindsight is 20/20, unlike me. But
you're like what one?
Oh, God knows. But the perhaps if you're using the effects loop a bunch, maybe that's, you know, maybe this is something for other people to know. If you're using the effects loop a bunch, the JVM is not the amp for you.
Or, you know, pop a buffer in there. I'd be
really interested to. I mean, in fact, I might give that a go.
Do it.
Tomorrow. Use the Empress buffer. I'll give the pedals a go through the effects loop and see how they sound, and then stick a buffer through there. And see how that sounds. I might give that a go tomorrow if I get the time, because that is very interesting.
Good stuff. Thanks to everyone for sending in questions this week. If you want to send them in, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum.
Forum.
There's loads of guitar nerds in there. It's been really, really busy at the moment. We've just gone past 1,000 members, I think.
We have gone past
1,000.
Indeed. So there's loads of stuff to chat about.
We should have done something for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, put up a picture of a cake or something. put up that picture of your face from that gig at the weekend. Very, very weird.
That photographer
indeed.
Specifically comes to our gigs to take pictures of my face.
Good. You said that last week.
Yeah,
there's a really good one if you haven't seen it. I'll show you it.
I haven't seen it.
I'll show you it in the intermission.
Okay.
There's a load more questions this week. We've got questions from Daryl about his kill switch pedal, questions from Scott about not even slinkies, question from Matt about replacement necks, question from Josh about cats on amps,
yes.
Question from Lloyd about the Biang OD8, and a question from Richard about Blackstar 50 watt heads. We're going to answer those over on the Patreon episode. If you want to get access to that, patreon.com/guitar nerds, whereas from as little as $5 a month, you'll get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds every week, an extra 2 hours a month. These people have done so and are therefore our Patreon exclusive backers. Do you want to do this?
Oh yeah, sure.
You haven't got the list up, have you?
No.
Here it is.
Here you go, here's the list.
There it is.
I've got it here now.
Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Dale Resco, Jake Connery, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fred Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Bill Gravett, Colin Anderson, Powell.
That was good. I like how you're changing it up every week. Normally it's like epic and massive, and that was a bit more.
I was trying to
freestyle jazz.
I'm going to try and speed it up every time, so
that
I can be
kind
like.
Of, maybe that I can kind do of it in my like breath. The poker rap.
Maybe like this.
It did sound like the poker rap.
Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Dale Resco, John Connery. See, it's gonna. I'm gonna mess up names.
You need to practice, but also I feel people aren't getting value for money if you read their names that quickly.
I also am not sure that that's quite what people sign up for if you do it really quickly.
Patreon backers.
Very good. So join us over at patreon.com/guitar nerds for more of this absolute nonsense. Thanks for joining us this week. If you want to learn more, then facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can follow us on Twitter @guitar nerds or on YouTube @guitar nerds videos. You can follow me on Twitter @mark_random. You can follow Jay @JAYBM1 and Joe @Yosef_900.
That's me.
Thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye, motherfucker.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.